Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 9th of May, recording at 9:09 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. The global stock market rally is showing some loss of upside momentum, but there's no evidence that it's over. That would require some clear downward dynamics. And there's also that issue of the increase in US money supply. There's a letter quoting Richard Russell in Comment of the Day, and I've also posted a couple of tables from Bloomberg which show the latest money supply figures and also contain some moving averages of the money supply. Government bonds, long-dated government bonds. Late last week, we were starting to get some downward dynamics, and I did a review of those in the subscribers area. Currencies, quietly steady US dollar here overall. And in terms of metals, despite that quietly steady dollar, well, it's more often unchanged, but remember, we had quite a good day on the upside on Friday, but the precious metals and industrial metals are steady for the most part. Okay, let's go back to global stock markets now, and particularly take that issue of the increase in US money supply. Now, that's obviously not the whole story in terms of what fuels stock market moves, but it's an important component. It's not also, I should say, additionally, the US money supply is not entirely representative of what's happening in terms of global liquidity, which I've been discussing frequently on this in this audio and on the written website. But again, it's an important component. Now, why might that be moving up? Well, certainly the Fed would be responsible for that, and why might the Fed be nudging up money supply at the same time that it's raising interest rates? And the short answer, and it's a guess on my part, but I think it's a reasonable guess, is that the Fed would like to avoid a sharp shakeout in U.S. asset markets, which would certainly jeopardize what's a modest economic recovery at a time when other parts of the world show a slowdown, particularly in Europe. And as I've maintained all along and said on the website, that the Fed's priority, I think all along, has been to increase the cost of money, not necessarily to reduce the amount of money that's sloshing around in the system, and to increase the money, as I've said, because it's rearming the interest rate gun so that it has some ammunition. If the US economy does really slow, the Fed's got some breathing space to cut. Now, at 3%, it hasn't got all that much leeway, and in my view, it would most definitely like to see interest rates higher. So, where does this leave us as far as the stock markets are concerned? Well, I like to see, of course, what's taking place on the charts, which represent the total distillation of all that's known or felt about various different markets. And on that basis, as I said at the beginning, and while the short-term overbought situation is being corrected and we are moving towards, but not yet quite at an overbought condition overall for these global stock markets, I still don't see any evidence that the rally is over, although it has slowed. And I did mention at the beginning, point worth repeating, that we do require some clear downward dynamics to indicate that it is over. Now, what do those downward dynamics look like? We'll go back and look at some of the charts, and you'll see plenty of them in the March and early April period as the uptrend consistency characteristics for global stock markets were taken out, broken. And therefore, my hunch is that this is going to be confined to a top extension ranging phase for global stock markets, and that the risks outweigh the rewards. Now, again, I'm trying to run with the hares and hunt with the hounds on this, and that I do still have some long positions that I would certainly consider lightening if I am pleasantly surprised by the extent of the rally. And equally, I have a number of short positions out, the early short positions protected with in-the-money stops, and I've described myself as living dangerously, dangerous in the sense that these indices are really quite close to those stop levels. So one good strong day on the upside, and that would trigger some stops in my SMI, NASDAQ, and UK short positions. And it would increase some short-term losses in some of the latter stock market positions that I put on. But overall, I still maintain that given the 2-year run, given the rising interest rates in the US, and given some evidence at least of a contraction in global liquidity, that and given the cyclical factors, the early part of a new presidential election term, that the risks do outweigh rewards in terms of stock markets at this stage. Okay, so therefore I am looking possibly to increase some of my short positions, I've said repeatedly. Now moving on to government bonds, and I did put up a number of charts, both weekly and daily, and I have been impressed in the last few days by the downward dynamics that we've seen in that sector. Now I know that coincided with some news, although I think the moves were preceded or came before the news that we saw on Friday, the US jobs figures. And I am also impressed when we get commonality. In other words, pretty well all those markets showing some downward dynamics. I'm talking about the long-dated government bond prices now that I illustrated to say on the website. And those look to me like tradable signals. Therefore, I'm quite likely to add to some existing short positions, or at least to replace in the US Treasuries the baby step position where I took a profit on part of my short position on the last sell-off, which ended in mid to late March. And what are the implications overall? Well, you know my long-term view that bond prices are topping out, but that it's likely to be a lengthy process following the secular bull market that ended in 2003. That means that long-dated government bond yields would be bottoming out, but again, it will be a fairly lengthy process overall. What many of you will be more interested in is what kind of knock-on effect this would possibly have. There is a view that if bonds show some slippage, bond prices, in other words, show some slippage, that may be supportive of stock markets in the very short term as you get some shifting of capital away from the bonds back into equities. My hunch is that that would be short-lived, and that if bond markets just were to range sideways, that would have no effect on stock markets. But if bond prices weaken again and go back to test the lows that we saw in March, that would be significant, and that would weigh on global stock markets, in my view. And there's a reasonable risk that that could actually happen, despite concern about the slowdown in global economic activity. Now, in currencies, I mentioned that firm day for the US dollar on Friday, and it wasn't across the boards, but it did show up on the US dollar index, which is closer to the higher side of this year's range than the lower side of this year's range, and it would require quite a clear downward dynamic to say rather emphatically that the US dollar is not going to rally further, at least over the short to medium term, and is instead going to go back down and retest the lows that we saw down near the just above the 80 level on the US dollar index. Now, we haven't seen that downward dynamic, and so, as I've said before, that while we have a ranging pattern at present, we are on the higher side of the range. I have been expecting primarily ranging this year, but I cannot rule out the possibility that we do see some additional US dollar rally, and I rate that as a better than 50-50 possibility overall, and that would certainly have considerable implications for a number of markets, starting with the precious metals markets. But I think that would also spill over into pretty well most commodity markets. Therefore, when I see a steady dollar, I'm wondering if I should have increase my rather modest hedge position against that to protect long positions that I have in metals, particularly in silver. That's because that's particularly silver because that's my biggest metals position by far. Now, with the dollar index mostly unchanged on the day, it was a bit steadier overall, and the dollar has picked up against the Japanese yen. That's where I do have a small hedge position. In other words, long U.S. I beg your pardon, short yen futures. But it's only one third of the position that I had earlier on and took a profit on shortly after I got out of hospital. Now, today it was quite interesting. While we'd had a soft day in the precious metals on Friday, some of those rebounded quite well today, including silver. As I look at the July position here, that's at 7.08 and a half, a little steadier on the palladium 195. I don't hold that any longer. A little bit steadier on the platinum here, which I do hold at 876. That silver had the best up move of the day on the among the precious metals. Gold, not a whole lot changed here at 426 and 11 as I speak. Now, the industrial metals were also firmer, and I just want to bring up that page. And I, you know, I or you may recall, I've got a modest-sized copper position, which is coming up. This is LME, London Metal Exchange position. And there, when one opens a new position, well, mostly we open up a third month position, so it'll run for 3 months. Then I've got to either let it expire, close it out, in other words, before I actually am faced with taking delivery of the copper, which I obviously don't wish to do, or to roll the position forward again for another 3 months. I will almost certainly let my position expire. And I was hoping that this would just remain reasonably steady in here so that I could take out most of the backwardation, which is currently around 140 pounds. In other words, today we had 3 months copper close at 3,213, while the spot copper closed at 3,355. So I was hoping to capture most of that backwardation. And I've been saying that for a while, and it's been a one day that looks like it looks okay to hold off, and the next day it looks like it's a mistake kind of thing, and today it looks like it's okay to wait. But this is a nervous market in here, as many markets are nervous right now. And that backwardation has contracted a little bit. And I do notice on the metals, and incidentally, they were all up in here today, these industrial metals, although US copper closed off the highs of the day. So again, in this backing and filling tendency that we've seen, we may see some softness yesterday. But I do notice that aluminium has slipped back into a small contango that had been in backwardation for a while, but some of the backs have improved. The nickel backwardation, I regard nickel as very often a lead industrial metal, and it certainly led the beginning of the big advance in industrial metals. And that backwardation has widened out to nearly 1,000 pounds. Mind you, that's not a huge percentage because we're talking about a cash position at 17,205. But I beg your pardon, did I say £1,000? $1,000 on that contract. And that was really quite steady overall here today. That cash position was up 510 $10, and aluminium is testing the upper side of its overall range right now. I believe that's the only, I'm sure that's the only industrial metal that's doing that at the moment. And certainly a lot of metal traders and watchers would sit up and take notice were nickel to break up out of this present trading range, because no metal has been able to do that in the last couple of months. And what else to mention here? Oil. The oil price firmed up a bit. Now that's still in contango, showing that there is not a nearby shortage, but that sort of psychological $50 level, a level that a number of months ago people felt was a ceiling unlikely to be breached, and now a number of people are wondering if it's a floor. And crude's been trading around that level, and currently on the spot price NYME after hours it's at 52.19. So I think that was up at least 60, 70 cents in here today. Now, this is in a very quiet range, so people aren't paying much attention, but were that to push ahead fairly strongly, that would certainly worry stock markets. Conversely, if we were to get oil falling below the $50 level for more than a day or two, stock markets would probably take that favorably, oil sector aside. Now, my view is, overall, is that we're seeing a medium-term consolidation within oil, but that it's very much in a secular bull market. And while I've said previously over the last few weeks that I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see it dip a little bit under the $50 level, I'd be quite surprised if it went back down to close to $40, which was the low we saw. Reaction low that we saw during the last medium-term correction. As I emphasize, again, this is very much a secular bull market in my view, driven by rising demand. And last, just a quick wrap on Wall Street. The stock market did close modest gains, but up near the higher side of the day, nearly 39 points on the Dow, 7.5 on the S&P, and 12 points on the NASDAQ Composite Index. All the best.